I'll never stop doing it because I want to inspire every person I can to do what they love in general, whether if it's drumming, guitar, painting, photography. You have the impact, and this is a superpower I think every musician has. With that superpower comes a crazy responsibility of like impacting others. From you.
Welcome, everybody, to Nashville Drummers Podcast, episode 48.
Today's guest is Devin Attard, who is relatively new to Nashville, moved here just 1 or 2 years ago. And he's only 24 years old, but man, his story is inspiring. The way he talks, you'll hear it in his voice. His passion and his energy is palpable. Originally from Detroit, Michigan, Devin is currently on tour with rising country star Austin Snell. And we get into how he got the gig, his really valuable insights on social media and endorsements. But the real takeaway for me was, yeah, he is a fantastic drummer, and now he has this gig and this platform. But again, you can just tell the way he talks about it, his true purpose in life is inspiring others and those around him.
Devin's a great dude. I love this guy. I loved him. As soon as I was introduced to him, I was like, this guy's awesome. He's hilarious. He's a great player. And he's someone to pay attention to because the dude's going to be a legend. That's just is what it is.
And I will say, between Devin and Nathan, I have to step up my impression game because you guys, they were killing it throughout this episode.
Tell you what, both of us are going to be doing voice acting professionally very shortly.
Yes, would not be surprised.
We hope you enjoy this episode of the Nashville Drummers Podcast. We got a couple of Lenny Kravitz songs called a few weeks ago. And
did you bust out some Lenny Kravitz, dude?
I was like, yeah. I was like, I just so happen to know these songs.
All right.
I can do this. I'm like, okay. Let's
Which go. Songs were they? Do you remember?
One was
Fly Away.
Fly Away. Yeah. And the other one was, I think the song's just called Again. But it.
Hey, Lenny Kravitz, though. That's,
Lenny Kravitz, bro.
Come on now.
Speaking of, did you ever see that video of him in New Orleans? He's just walking on the street. He started videoing because there was a band, like you can hear, there's a band playing Fly Away. And it's like a high school band.
He walks up
and they're like, like looking at it's Lenny and the drummer's playing. And he goes, in the middle of like kind of grooving to him, he looks at the drummer and he goes, like points, like get up.
Yeah.
Because the dude's playing like this.
Yeah.
And he sits down, grabs the sticks and just plays like five times as hard, just kind of like he does that for about a minute and then he gets back up and the drummer's like, oh, like got it and plays way harder. Like that had to be the best lesson.
I need to see this.
It's great.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine the like being that kid?
I'd shit my pants, dude.
Yeah,
man. Yeah, talk about pressure.
Yeah. But then after that, I would literally hammer.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. There's no way that I'm like getting back on the drums after that and like pussyfooting around anything. I'm like, I'm going to smash my next. I don't care what the gig is. You can.
Yeah.
It could be a Brushes gig, and I'm going to break this snare drum. Here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Dude, we're already going. Thanks for being here, man. I'm so glad we're getting to hang. It's been a long time.
Thank you, guys.
Had you guys met before?
We had.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we met along with Taylor at the cigar hang.
Yep.
Oh, thanks to Finch for putting that on. That was a few months ago now. Yeah.
And that was, I've never been to anything like that. Yeah. I've never experienced anything like that. Because like the Nashville community is way different than Detroit. You know what I mean? So that was fun.
Why don't we start there?
Okay.
How are those two scenes different?
Dude, I mean like I feel one, like the competition mindset, right? Like I feel like in Detroit there isn't as much work, right? Or there's not like, I don't know, because it's just if you grind in Nashville and you put yourself out there and you put in the work and you network and you know your homework, you know what I mean? Like you will get some gigs.
Yeah,
you will play.
You will work.
And you'll build your way up.
As Rich Redmond will say, just like if you have all that, like as the precursor, that you just have to weigh people out.
Yep. Absolutely.
It takes time.
And so I feel like there's just such a competitive mindset with a lot of drummers in Michigan that like aren't like they're not homies. Like they know each other, but they're not like tight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's always been, and me like growing up, I would play with a lot of bands, like playing like local venues in Detroit, in Michigan in general. I would meet drummers that I looked up to or like respected a ton, and they would be cold to me or be like, I'm too cool for you. You know what I mean? And I was like, damn. To where in Nashville, I've never had so many drummer friends in my life. Like Jablaze, Brian Clancy, Pablo. Like it's so cool being able to, also Cody Ash. I can't leave out Cody Ash. I love Cody so much. He was a huge reason why I moved here too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just so refreshing, dude. It's so cool just to have like a your own little community, and everyone has each other's back and like wants to see each other win. You know what I mean?
Couldn't have said it any better. Yeah.
That has been, I'm loving the consistency of hearing that, because obviously as someone who's chosen Nashville long-term for a lot of reasons, I'm like, cool. I don't want to be like lying to myself. I'm like, I'm pretty sure Nashville's like awesome.
Yeah.
I'm by kind of any stretch of the imagination, but having so many drummers come in and say, yeah, my experience with everyone's been like remarkably positive.
Yes.
Like that's very awesome. That's very. What else could you ask for?
I honestly haven't met any drummers where I've had like a bad encounter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Besides like tonight.
But no, dude, like it's
give
just,
it time. Give it time.
it's crazy. Like, cause I also like after I lived here for a few months and I went on Broadway a lot, I stopped going on Broadway to hang out because I just got so tired of it. Yeah. I was like, yeah, you know, I'll go there when I play. You know what I mean? But yeah, no, it's so cool, dude. It's so refreshing.
So when did you actually move here? And that was that from Detroit directly?
Yes. Yeah. Like late September I think late September of 2022. So like a year and a half.
Yeah. And I would have seen you then for the first time shortly after that.
I went to the Tootsie's audition thing.
Yeah.
Cause like it was like literally restarting.
Yeah.
Like going from the metal industry to country or just Nashville in general.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I went to that Tootsie's audition, and that's where I'm pretty sure I met you for the first time, or I saw you play.
Well, I know you came in because I was playing, I would have been playing after the audition.
That's what,
I saw you come in. And I'm like, and you have, obviously you have a look that's like, I'm like, I bet he's
in hair. Then.
I'm betting musician. And then I started like sneaking in some fives with my left foot.
Oh, dude.
And I saw this dude just go.
Yeah. That's how you know. Just like, start sneaking in.
Drummer, 100%. Like there's no way that a non-drummer knows what I'm doing. And I can tell this motherfucker knows what I'm doing.
Dude, I heard the chops. I was like,
almost like he's a drummer and I bet he's pretty good. I was like, cool. Nice. And then Evan, the singer, was like, that's my friend Devin. Can he sit in? I was like, fuck yes, please.
That was fun. Yeah. That was fun, dude. And that was so fresh to like me coming into this whole scene and just like country in general was so new to everything. So my, like the first weekend I moved here, I literally packed my car with my clothes, my e-kit, Broadway essentials.
Yeah.
And that was it.
That was it.
And that was literally it. And I drove with my brother and he flew back to Michigan, but he drove down with me. And that weekend was my first time on Broadway and just experiencing that. And I was thinking in my head, because it was so new to me, like I'd only been just touring and I'd only been, you know, and then Longle, that was what I wanted to do, was get picked up by an artist. And I wanted to do that.
Yep.
But I was like, I'm going to move here. I want to play on Broadway. I'm going to grind my ass off. I was kind of mind blown by the whole concept a little bit. And it was just every bar, same songs. I was like, okay, there's a repetition of this. And before I moved, I was like, it's probably a list of like 150 songs that I'm just going to listen to on repeat, which half of them, like I already knew from like growing up, you know what I mean?
Some of the classics.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like the Guns N' Roses shit, Queen, fucking like all that stuff.
Yep.
Yep.
But country, I was not a huge country fan growing up. Like I grew up on Johnny Cash, but I knew nothing
Yeah.
I didn't know shit about country.
I don't, yeah. Those, I knew nothing about those songs. I was like, okay, cool. I went in, when I first couple of months when I was taking those gigs, I was going, hey, just so you know, I don't know any country at all, but I listen. I'm like, and I will watch the shit out of you. I'm like, if you signal me that there are hits, I can follow like a motherfucker. but I don't know any of these songs, so just tell me what to do.
And so many of like Devil Went Down to Georgia, stuff like that, I'd heard, but I like the
Some of stuff, listening is not the same thing as playing it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I didn't know all those cadences, and I didn't know all those like different stabs and that like little stuff like that, you know. So it's like that really added onto my playing too, you know what I mean? And just like being able to play all these different genres and expand my dynamics and be open-minded, because you'll never know it all. You'll never be the best, and you're never done growing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and so I don't know, dude, it was so fun, but it was so nerve wracking. I was never like scared, but it was very nerve wracking of like, all right, playing the song that I know that like, I know the structure, the theory structure. And I know like, if it's got this certain like groove to it or a certain shuffle, or it's like one of these blues songs or something, I know like it's going to have these certain stops, going to have these certain endings, going to have these certain things. I was like, but I'm going to keep my eyes locked in on this bassist.
There are like, I call them tropes. I was like, there's like tropes within these styles. I'm like, okay, so this song might go kind of like this, and I can take a guess.
Yeah.
When it's like a surprise and it goes in a direction I don't, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
I would never have thought that's kind of cool.
Yep.
I want to double back on that just for a second. Sell me playing on Broadway as a person not from that, like, I don't do country, grew up playing metal, and I want to go back, we'll definitely go back and talk about how your genesis of playing music and getting into, you know, everything.
Word.
But just sell me for playing on Broadway for the sake of, because you said like that helped me as a musician.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, it has its pros, and you know, it has its pros, it has its cons.
Yeah, for sure. There are moments where you'll sometimes want to dig your eyes out with a spoon. Yep.
And there's some days where you're playing with the right group of dudes, and it's lit. But in general, doing it in general, I think it just really humbles you. And it, like, that's time for you to serve a song and really build that structure and principle, I'd say, as a drummer. Cause like, you might be able to like go crazy and you might be able to do crazy shit, but it's like some people like you're there and you're not there playing originals. You're there playing covers,
right?
People are from out of town. They want to drink. You are technically a jukebox.
Yeah.
And again, it depends on the front man. It depends on the person leading the whole thing. If they're running the bucket, if you're playing with the wrong person, all you're going to make is your bass and maybe a $5-$10 added on top.
Right.
If you're playing a good, you know, playing a closing shift, you know, rooftop, whatever, main stage, you know, it could be sick. But all in all, I think it's just like, if you're starting out here and you're from out of town, and I've had so many messages of people like, hey, I'm thinking about moving to Nashville. I saw that you moved to Nashville. Like, how's it going? I see you're doing this. So you're doing this. Like, how would I be able to get into that? I think the biggest thing is just really like being comfortable enough with yourself and believing in yourself enough to put yourself out there and be like, go up to you randomly at a bar or at one of your shifts and being like, yo, what's going on? I'm Devin. I just moved to town.
Yeah.
You rip. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I think it's that's a huge part of it. And just listening to others and taking the advice when you're fresh air, because it kind of doesn't really matter what you've done before. You could have been the biggest fish in your previous body of water, but now you're in a new body of water and there's bigger fish.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so well said. Our last guest, Alec Parrish, literally, remember he had the same analogy.
Yeah.
Being basically moving ponds, and like, he'd rather be a small fish in a much bigger pond.
Absolutely, man.
Because it's to grow.
Yeah. Exactly. That gives you the potential to be huge. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, like, I look at it this way, like, I'm never going to be the best drummer. We're never going to be the best drummers. I, you know, there's so many great drummers out there that would say the same thing, but it's like, at the end of the day, as long as you are your true self, you take the time to learn, you incorporate practice, patience, and persistence in what you're doing, then the best can't fuck with you because there's not another you.
Right.
You know what I mean? It doesn't matter if you're sitting next to Tony Royster or Eric Moore or whatever. It's like that's two total different worlds. Yeah, so it's like people will be like, oh, do you think you're a better drummer than this guy? Or do you think this guy's a better drummer than this guy? It's like I can't even answer that question because they're two total different drummers.
Yeah.
Like, it's like comparing Ringo Starr to John Bonham. Like people shit on Ringo, but like back in the day during that time, the certain things that like the intro of Come Together or Helter Skelter, so like stuff like that. Yeah. You know, it's just like legendary shit that paved the way. You know what I mean? And
100%.
So it's like two total different purposes on this earth, like sitting next to each other and playing next to each other. But it's like they both mesh. So yeah, all in all, I think just doing the whole Broadway thing, whether if you want to stick with it or not, I think it just teaches you a ton about yourself as a drummer and it sharpens you as a drummer. It'll put you in check because playing, especially if you play a double, you're playing 8 hours.
Yeah.
Dude. Like, and especially if you want to be, you know, have fun and be entertaining, you got to move a little bit. You can't just sit and just fucking snore. You know what I mean? It's you got to, that's what the showmanship part.
Yeah, you
want
to make money, you better be energetic on
give,
stage.
Give them a reason to tip you, to pay $20 for a song. You know what I mean? Because if you're butchering it and you look like you don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Then why the fuck would I want to be in that bar?
Yeah,
right. Why would I want to spend my money on that? Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, absolutely.
Like you said, like it's a good point to think about the audience. It's like I think it's easy for Broadway or Nashville musicians to think about like we're so crazed about picking up shifts and working. And obviously, we need to make a living and do that. But it's like as you said, the audience, like the people come into those bars are mostly tourists.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever played like in a wedding band? Like this similar idea, like.
I am not.
You know, I used to do that a lot in Indiana.
I make good money though.
Great money. Yeah. I mean, similar to Broadway where it's like the people coming are, they're going to see that show once. That event is a once in a lifetime thing.
Yeah.
Obviously a wedding, but you know, Broadway even too, I'm sure. Yeah. A lot of the corporate visitors and just people from out of town, like they're there for the bachelorette party. They're there for someone's birthday.
There's a reason why you see all those chicks in pink hats.
Exactly.
Because they're like, This is our time in Nashville. This is our Nashville experience. We're here to go crazy. We've never done this before. Maybe they have, but we do this once a year.
But so they're there for a reason,
right?
And they want to have a good time. So it's like if your energy's high and they're out there and they're having fun, they feed off of that. You're just making them want to spend more money, drink more, stay longer. There's so many bars on Broadway, but if you give a fuck about what you're doing, you can make a whole room stay there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially if everybody has the same mindset that you're playing with. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
That cohesion for sure.
But yeah, no, absolutely.
This is something I think about too, and I wonder your thoughts on this. I've been thinking about, because there's, when music is a language, right?
Yeah.
And when you're communicating with other musicians, you can use a higher language, you know? You can like, you can kind of chop out, like, I can bring my level up a little higher and you'll get it. Like I'm not talking in a way that will just be gibberish to you.
Yeah.
Like technical jargon.
For sure.
I've been like in my gigs going, okay, so some stuff that I will like pull off there does nothing. It goes flat. I'm like, I know it's dope. I know.
Yeah.
And I know whenever there's another musician in there, they'll go, oh shit, I know what you're doing.
You'll see one guy just his head
like,
poking
exactly.
out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it'll be like once every 10 shows, someone will come up to me and go, yo, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
But this is the thing. And this is why I want to talk to you about this because you can play. Figuring out how, like, what stuff I can do that cross, like, ticks both of those boxes. I'm like, it satisfies something where I'm like really playing, but it successfully communicates with the audience.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the golden nugget
when you figure that out.
Right.
You said you scratch both.
I think a huge, first off, that's a great question.
Okay,
or that's
thanks.
Just a great thought. You know what I mean? Because it's like, as a drummer, especially when you can play at the level that you play at, you want to like do these things. You have these ideas. And especially every set with Austin or with David, I'll do something different for every song.
Yeah.
Whether if it's an intro fill or if it's something, you know what I mean? And I think I just like the, what's the word I'm looking for? Help me. Like spur of the moment. Help me.
Improvisation.
Help me. Improv. Like I love that. Yeah. I love doing that stuff. So for me, like, I think energy is a huge, huge part. And especially like doing something like Broadway, to where it's like people are there to hear the song, how the song is played, but you want to throw your spin on it. It's like finding that perfect blend of like serving the song, but also making it your own
right
in that moment. And I think like a part in it is like, there's like a certain line, right? To where it's like when you're starting to do like, when you're got like doing gospel chop, like,
yeah,
like off time signature, like polyrhythm, that's where you lose
Nate.
People.
Guilty.
but it's fun, dude. Yeah. It's fun. Yeah. And that's the whole reason why we do it, besides it being our career and that's our job, but it's our passion and we have fun doing it. And yeah. Also it's like, you gotta have fun on Broadway. You can't take yourself way too seriously will get burnt out. But no, I think a big thing is like, if I was sitting in with a band, say my own worst enemy, So I'll tell them ahead, like that last like section going out.
Yeah.
Halftime it.
Yeah.
Or snare on the three. And it's like, awesome. For me, like little stuff of like that little, like to where it's like, it's just a little groovy shit to help. Like it makes people want to like sway and like, you know what I'm saying? And I try to think of like, shit, this might be weird, but like it's like sexy, and I think it's a drummer thing.
I agree.
A certain level of swag.
And Josh Manuel is a huge example of that. Yeah. Like like Issues and like everything he did was like, well, it does with Bill Murray and just his little, just the swag.
I just recently got kind of hip to Bill Murray. It's a band. People,
it's a band.
Yeah, it's not just a guy.
It's a familiar.
It's a band.
I love saying that in front of it. Like Bill Murray, that's an actor.
Hey,
he comes out with music.
He was in Ghostbusters. Yeah. What kind of music does he make? Is it like Ghostbusters?
It's like, no, I'm just talking about the song Ghostbusters. That's it.
Well, see, that's all,
which that's I played. Which I played on Broadway. Last week.
Oh no!
We got that called.
Was that first?
A guy walks up with some money and a little like, piece of paper. And my guitarist goes. He looks at it. And he starts laughing. He goes. he's like, we just got a request that I've never gotten before, and I have always secretly wanted to get. We're about to play Ghostbusters by Ray Parker Jr. I was like, yo, awesome! So put Ghostbusters.
That's hilarious. Anyway. How'd you do? I would have been like, oh no. I would have been like,
I just
like it. I've never listened to that song front to back.
I have, but in my brain, I was. Do you know who Neil Cicierega is?
No.
Okay. Nope. First of all, you got to check this dude out. What would you call Neil besides genius? He's a content creator, and he's been doing it since the days of what was that website called?
MySpace,
E-Bombs World.
Oh, yeah.
What?
I remember that. Yeah,
like
is this before my time?
Probably.
I was born in 2000.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
A little bit before your time. And he's been making viral content under different titles. Like totally disparate. Like
I bet I've seen this.
You definitely have encountered his content somewhere.
Okay.
He knows how to make stuff that will catch on and people will love.
Okay.
But he has an album of mashups he has multiple albums of it, but they're the most unhinged mashups you can possibly imagine. And he will rearrange, you know what a YouTube poop is?
No.
Nope.
Okay. We're diving into the weird, nerdy, deep end, dark shit.
Let's hear it. Let's go. I'm here for it.
A YouTube poop is they'll take of something like Troll 2, which we talked about.
They'll take like a bad movie or a bad show, or and it doesn't have to necessarily be a bad movie or a bad show, but they do it with that a lot.
Okay.
And they will just rearrange it into them, the people in these shows or movies saying the most ridiculous things you can imagine, like very dirty, like.
And it's a mashup, you said?
So he's doing a combination of that. So he's like mashing up songs in just the most absolutely absurd ways you can imagine, and then rearranging the lyrics to be just like give you an aneurysm from laughing.
I need to see this after this. I gotta see this.
Oh, dude, I'm gonna send you so many good
things.
I need
to see this. And the video of the dude, what's his name, in New Orleans. He told the drummer, like, hit hard.
Oh, yeah, Lenny Kravitz. Yeah.
Lenny Kravitz.
I'm gonna send you so much content when this is over.
Devin's gonna wish he never came on this podcast. Dude.
This is a year where
you're flooded.
Yeah. You know what? Blocked.
That's hilarious, dude.
Anyway, how do you get the perfect Nashville kick drum tone? It starts with a Lowboy Leather Daddy bass drum beater. This leather-faced beater occupies the sonic space between felt and wood beaters. It's punchy enough to cut through the mix on those four-on-the-floor barn burners with the warmth you need for slow ballads. Okay, but who plays a Leather Daddy? Garrett Goodwin from Carrie Underwood's band uses one. Lee Bryce drummer Donnie Marple plays a pair. Walk down Broadway any night of the week and you're going to hear one. In Nashville, you can test drive a Lowboy beater at Drumbox and grab one at Forks, Drum Supply, or Nelson's. Check out lowboybeaters.com to learn more. There was a point to me saying that, and God only knows what it was.
Don't assume there was a point to anything you said.
That's true. But yeah, fair enough.
I'm telling you right now, I'm going to throw one of these bad boys with some Zins.
Oh. Hey. Yeah. That's great.
I'm a Zinnerman. I don't know about you guys. I'm a Bailey Zinnerman. Come on. Come on now.
Oh, love it, dude.
That's like a goal for at least like Austin to get like a Zinn sponsorship. He just got a Busch Light sponsorship.
Wow.
Oh.
So I feel like we're on, like he's on the right track.
Oh, yeah.
For Zinn.
Yeah, only up from there.
Zinn sponsorship. I never thought of that. Brought to you by Zinn. Zinn. It's Zen.
Or imagine like, it was like brought to you by Daddy's Dogs.
We've talked about that. Yeah. Dude, Nate used to work for Daddy's Dogs.
I've never had one.
You never had a Daddy's Dog?
I've never had a Daddy's Dog.
This segment brought to you by Daddy's Dogs. The Late Night Kings.
See,
I always pass the tent. Anytime I'm on Broadway, I pass the tent. I look at it. I'm like,
I worked there for 2.5 years.
How was that?
It was stressful, but ultimately really
stressful?
Good.
Stressful? Were you just slinging glizzies?
Glizzies? The G word. Yeah, dude. We've talked about this before.
Nate, yeah.
If I knew that if someone came up and said the word glizzy, they were never going to buy a hot dog. So they would be like, you sell them glizzies, bro? And I literally would look them in the face and be like, later. Fuck off. Because I knew 100% of the people that would say that to me, I literally knew they will never buy.
Constantly, because it's,
I had never heard the word. And then 2 nights in a row, I swear to God, different guys ran up, said, you got the glizzies, bro? And then ran away. Yep. And I was like, what in God's name is that word? Oh, and then I had to look it up, and I was like, glizzy is a synonym.
You didn't know what it meant?
No, I was totally unfamiliar. It's like a DC thing.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that word before coming here either.
It's a DC thing?
Yeah. Apparently, that's where it's from.
Come get your glizzies here.
And I was just like, what in God's name is this fucking thing? And I'm like, yeah, dude. Honestly, that job was a big reason. We've talked about it a bit on actually a fair amount on the podcast, but that was part of it.
I've heard you talk about it before.
It's a thing. Yeah. It's what got me doing the thing. So I'm grateful.
That's so cool, dude.
Yeah.
So cool.
Anyway, hot dogs, dude.
Hot dogs.
Dude, yeah. There's a lot I wanted to talk about next. I mean, we could go in probably many different places.
You won't, brother.
I mean, Broadway, I think we kind of covered, but I guess so we're catching you in the middle of tour with Austin.
Yes, sir.
Austin Snell. So, I guess, let's just talk about that, how you got the gig kind of story and how it's all been going. Yeah.
Man. Okay. So shout out to Pablo, plays for John Langston. He used to be in a band called Chelsea Grin, which pretty sure he still works with them a lot. But Pablo's the man, ripper of a drummer, so talented, and his screams, the like, you know what I'm saying? Like
oh, yeah.
That type of insane. But he was supposed to play Austin's first show at Whiskey Jam when it was still at, was it Winners?
Yep.
Winners. And I was probably my, like my third month into being in Nashville. And Austin had just released Excuse the Mess, the first song that he put out. And so I heard that. Pablo hit me up. He was like, hey, are you available for this? It's only three songs. I'm sick. I can't play it. And I heard the one song that he had out, and I was like, yo. Because I came from the metalcore world.
Yeah, it's the perfect blend for you then, right?
And my, so like there was something, I got to tell this story. I got to tell this story really quick.
That's why you're here.
I heard Beer Never Broke My Heart for the first time on a tour with my previous band. Shout out to Silent Planet Chris Gazel, awesome drummer too, but great front of house. He would like either tune the PA or something with the PA. I'm not a front of house, so I'm not going to try to say terms. Yep. But he played over the speakers Luke Combs, and I'd never heard Luke Combs before. And I hear, and I'm like,
yeah.
And then I hear,
that's pretty dang heavy.
Yeah. I was like, yeah. Country.
You can do that in country?
And I was like, all right. And then by week, it was like an 8-week run, maybe 9 weeks. By week two, I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I'm like, this could be, and I'm just imagining myself just like going hard on stage, just like to this and putting kind of that spin on country.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And kind of breaking that stereotype of just, you know, sitting there and
trying.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And
have you seen how Jake plays it live? He's smashing.
Oh, dude, he smed you. Oh my Lord. Is it the video of Luke like smashing the
show? Literally, yeah.
Every show, yeah.
Yeah, dude. It's like gah, 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 gah. All the memes about that is so hilarious too. Yeah. Like Luke Combs don't have a single song going hard enough to do this. That shit cracks me up, dude. Oh, I saw it synced up like After the Burial or something like that. It's like dig it again, dig it again.
Incredible.
Dig it again, dig it again. But yeah, so that just got me daydreaming. And so from there, I started talking with Cody Ash and just like the gear started turning. And with Austin, I heard Excuse the Mess for the first time. And I was like, this is sick. Talked with him. Heard Get There First that he had pre-production only of it wasn't out yet. And Wasting All These Tears. And played that. He was like, brother, if you want to stick around, we would love to have you. And I knew that Austin was going to do like great things. And he was just a good hang, like right off rip. And we'd like really hit it off. And I hit it off with his family and his friends and shit. And, you know, management, shout out Grant. Love you, dude. He was super kind, just super on board. And ever since then, they've just been like family. You know, and especially Austin has been like a big brother now, and especially him letting me do my thing and put that spin on, like we're opening for Keith Urban and I'm doing blast beats in a section and windmills and like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's so like, it's been just like the comments I've gotten from just like legends in country and just the music industry in general is just like, that's like God wings to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the spot where I'm in now with Austin and other people that I'm blessed to work with as well. It's just like, it's literally, I couldn't ask for anything better. You know what I mean?
That's so cool.
Anything better. But yeah, so.
That's such a cool story. I love hearing that. Like, cause you know, we often ask like how you got the gig and, you know, the stories are always kind of different, but it's so cool. Like when it's just a very natural, when it sounds like that's how it was for you. Like you did the Whiskey Jam and you know, that was the audition and it just like you guys hit it off. And
it was cool, man. I was sleeping on a couch when I moved here. I was sleeping on Chase Ryan's couch and Christian Stoll's. Shout out to both of them. I love you boys.
I play with Christian. Yeah, he's great.
Dude, without those guys, I would not be here right now. Mm. I had a plan to move to Nashville, but the way that all happened, so random, such a like a universe God thing. Like,
let's hear it, man.
Dude, like, so my brother Steve, he's 29. He's my best friend. I love him with all my heart. He ended up moving to Nashville too, about like 5 months ago, and we got a place together. But he was like a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, he was coming to Nashville with his boys, for his birthday. And his best friend from high school, Eric Momberg, was Chase and Christian's drill sergeant in the Marines. So they're coming to town. Eric hit up Chase and Christian and was like, yo, I want to come see you guys play. And Chase and Christian stuck with my brother and his friends throughout the whole weekend. And my brother was like, yo, check out my brother, Devin. Da, da, da. And he was like, yeah, he just parted ways with his band. And he wants to move to Nashville, like do the country thing. And they're like, well, why doesn't he just move in with us? And they're like, we're moving into a new apartment. We got a nice ass couch, big. He can crash there and he doesn't have to pay anything. He can just, they're like, we know he's going to get gigs. We know he's going to get work. So yeah, for like 2 months, I slept on their couch. And
dude, it's amazing how far like a little bit of kindness and some belief from other people will go for you. You don't have to have a big team.
Yeah.
But having a team is important.
Big time. Big time. And dude, like, I made sure that like I cleaned up my shit. I would get groceries. I would be as courteous as possible because I was just like, holy fuck, like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like moving from Michigan and just a whole new environment. Like, I don't know, dude, it was nuts, but it was the most benefiting thing I could have ever done in my life. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like everything going on this year, what we did last year, it's nuts, dude. It's nuts. That's why like people put themselves in uncomfortable positions and it's scary, but it's always worth it.
Yeah.
Because like, I think of opportunity as like a figure like us, like a person, to where it's like, at first it's like right here. You know what I mean? That opportunity is so close. You only got to do a little bit to get there. And that person moves back a little bit and it moves back.
Yeah.
And it gets to a point to where it's like opportunities all the way over there. And it's come to you enough times where it's like, all right, motherfucker, it's your turn.
Yeah.
It's your turn to come to me. And you need to put yourself in an uncomfortable position to get to that next step. Because you're not going to get the same opportunity twice with the same work ethic. You're not going to get anything handed to you. It's, you know, and it just reaches like a certain stage to where it's just like, all right, like, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? Because it's not going to get handed to you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you got to show how bad you want it, how hungry you are. You know what I mean? No matter how many drummers there are in the world.
Yeah.
That's where you find communities like this. And it's like, holy fuck, there's a way for everyone to have a job. Yeah. There's a way for everyone to be homies and everyone makes money.
Literally everybody can eat here.
But, yeah, exactly.
Like you said, you have nothing's going to come to you.
Yes.
No one's just serving you dinner. You have to go cook it yourself. You
know? Yeah. And it was scary, dude. It was hard. And it still is hard. You know what I mean? Being away from family and my parents are getting old. My grandma's getting old. You know what I mean? Like, especially spending a lot of time on the road too. It's like, it's every touring musician's worst nightmares to get a phone call and be like, hey, this happened. Like, you got a choice to either fuck everybody else and leave, or you got to finish out those shows and wait till you come home. And then you can, you know, it's hard.
Yo, whenever I get like, we're going in a very serious direction with this conversation. Whenever I get a call from like my dad, that's kind of late, I'm like,
it scares the shit out of you.
Yo, what if something happened to mom?
Mm-hmm.
Every time I'm like, oh my God, it's really hard to be away from family like that.
Yeah, man.
Hey drummers, are you worried about losing your hearing? Did you know noise exposure can cause permanent hearing loss?
Dr. Jason Baker with Music City Audiology provides mobile concierge services to musicians in Nashville and surrounding areas. That's right. He is 100% mobile and will come to you. If you need ear impressions, custom in-ear products, ear cleaning, hearing tests, or information about protecting your ears, he's your guy. Music City Audiology cares about drummers and wants to help you maintain your most valuable tools, your ears. Visit MusicCityAudiology.com to book your consult today. That's MusicCityAudiology.com.
Man, you've just been preaching some words of wisdom today. This has been great.
Yeah, this is
we're
awesome.
Not even,
dude,
we're just getting started.
I
want to go back to a few things. I mean, definitely I want to cover social media and like
for sure.
Branding. And I think that's been a big part of your identity. But also what you said, like even with the country, I feel like you represent like this new wave of drummers combining the country metal scene. You mentioned like putting your spin and watching you play and related back to social media. Like you have a very clear, facial expressions and the animation. Like it's super fun and like it's refreshing. That's not like super common, I would say.
Thank you, bro.
So what is your mindset between having your spin and being intentional about that identity?
I think like, I don't know, like I don't know about you guys. I looked up to a lot of drummers that were showmen.
Mm. Yep.
Like Joey Jordison. Again, I'm a big metalhead and like I grew up on metal and I'm so new to country. Shout out to Terrence Clark though, because he's nuts.
Yeah.
He's so kind, dude.
Terrence is a G.
He's popped in my head. One of the plays for Keith Urban. I'm sure you know, but for anyone watching. Yep. Nasty drummer. Dynamics are fucking nuts and he's just super kind. But like Joey Jordison, The Rev, Zoltan, if you've ever heard of him, he's just all show, bro. All show. Choking cymbals with his feet, throwing sticks in the air, not even worrying about catching it, grabbing another one while it's flying. Yep. And like, dude, one of the craziest drummers to just watch. Drummer for Alice Cooper. What is his name?
Oh, why can't
Glenn, I think it was... Glenn Sobel.
Yeah, Sobel.
Is it Glenn, Glenn Sobel?
Yeah.
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 Oh, he's nasty watching him
Alice
growing
has
up.
Always...
Had crazy drummers.
Yes.
Eric Singer.
Yes.
He played for Alice, and he was nuts. But yeah, dude, so like, I don't know, and I think it's like, I still have that love of like metal in me, you know what I mean? I'm just like going hard.
Yeah, that energy.
That energy, and just like, I don't know, because I've been drumming since I was 2, and I'm 24 now, and throughout that whole time, it's just like, and my dad was a drummer, so he was a hard hitter, and he just like, from a very, very, very young age, he just always taught me to play with purpose, like put your body into it, basically give a fuck, you know what I mean? Like, and if you don't, then don't do it. And just like the older I got and the more I watched other people, I think it's just you get in a certain flow state, right? And I think that's a common term for a lot of musicians to where it's like, and there's this movie Soul. I don't know if you've seen it.
I have not.
He hasn't seen any movies.
Oh, come on.
Bruh. Except for the ones that I haven't seen.
You threw him out of the bus, dude.
That always happens. Troll 2. Like, that's the benchmark.
Basically,
it's okay, you need to see that.
So it's a Pixar movie, and it perfectly describes what it feels like for a musician to, like, get lost in the craft.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's... So I, like, I will consume cannabis, smoke weed before I go on stage, before I track, before I do a lot of stuff, because it helps me so much not overthink. It helps me so much not, like, I don't know. It's like I let my body just do it, and I don't let my mind get involved. Mm. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And
I've heard jazz musicians refer to that as getting their ears right. Okay. Like, hold on, I got to get my ears right.
Okay.
Go outside and smoke some weed. Like,
that sounds swaggy as fuck.
I was like,
hold up,
like
y'all. I got to get my ears right. Yeah. Hold on.
Because sometimes you're listening to yourself the wrong way.
Yeah, for sure. No, for sure. And so coming into country, and obviously everybody wants to stand out, everybody wants to earn their spot somewhere. And I think for me, it's just like the biggest thing is just been being your fucking self, dude. Like, stop worrying about what he thinks or what she thinks or what, you know, what people think of you in general, or trying to impress anybody. Because the only thing you need to do is impress yourself.
Yes.
If you're not impressing yourself, if you're not one-upping yourself each time you get up on stage or you hold a pair of sticks, then it's like, then you're doing something wrong, because complacency can be everybody's worst fucking enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Comfort can be everyone's worst enemy.
Definitely.
But all in all, it's just like, I just love to play drums, dude. I love to play drums. I love entertaining people. And the biggest reason why I do this, especially now, like, Because obviously we're not doing this to be millionaires. We're not rolling in it. We're right. not, you know, we have to really earn our living. I'll never stop doing it because I want to inspire every person I can to do what they love in general, whether if it's drumming, guitar, painting, photography, whatever it is. It's like, you have the impact, and this is a superpower I think every musician has that plays in front of anybody, whether if it's one person or 10,000, you have a superpower. And with that superpower comes a crazy responsibility of like impacting others.
Yeah.
Your actions, your energy, your words, your like even just in a 20-minute time slot of you opening for someone or you doing something, that is a very powerful 20 minutes that can impact your whole life, someone else's life. And I think doing right by that and always like pushing yourself to make sure that that person sees how good it feels to love something so much.
Yes.
That you dedicate your life to it. And that's the result of that is what they're seeing right there. They're like, holy shit.
That's such a good like, reminder, man.
You know what I'm saying though? Yeah. Like I don't know. So that's why I still, and I totally moved to Nashville and I thought my style was going to change. I thought I was never going to do windmills or headbang or do a stick flip or
no
double bass, no nothing. And
hey, spoiler alert, he's doing all of those things.
And we are in Nashville. Yeah. Oh shit. Okay. I guess
dude, and it's nuts. Like the response in general that I've gotten, I'm just so blessed. Just even like sit down and like talk with dudes like you, you know what I mean? It's like, It's a blessing, you know what I mean? And yeah, man. So it's nice to be able to just like be yourself and knowing that you can stay true to that. And that's actually like a real thing is like people will fuck with you more if you're just you. Well,
okay. And to make it like, to draw the parallel, if you're in a relationship with, like say you're in a romantic relationship yeah. with someone and you're not being yourself, that's exhausting.
Yeah.
Why would you want to be like some people I have known dudes are like, well, I really just don't want her to see this side of me yet. I'm like, why?
Why? Yeah.
Why? Because if she's not going to like that, then you're not going to like not being the thing that you are, yeah. idiot. Just yeah. be what yeah. you are.
I know my girlfriend's going to watch this and I needed, you know, I immediately was a jackass. I didn't fart in front of her until like a couple months
day
in.
Two? Yeah, yeah.
No, a couple months in. Okay, all my okay. friends are like, did you rip ass in front of her yet? Did you fart in front of her yet? I'm like, nah, yeah, no, not yet. She keeps hearing about it. She's like, what? Just do it. What? And after that, she was like, now she's like, stop. Like, like hates it.
Dude, these impersonations between the two of you today, I gotta step it up. I don't have much.
But
it's appreciated.
Yeah. So you need to have like one really guy that one. You do. Yeah. yeah.
What's your one guy?
No, I don't have one. That's what I'm saying. I gotta get one.
You should, and it should be it's like someone
you,
obscure.
It's in
probably
you.
Like Henry Kissinger or something.
I would love to see you drunk. Man, I would okay. love to, I would love to we see can, you get hammered. We need to go to Red Door.
Let's do it.
And just
after
kick
this,
it.
Do something
yeah, like I'm that. Down. I'm right. down. Absolutely. You know, shout out to Harley. He's playing the Ryman tonight with Breland.
Okay.
Is that the artist?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Breland. Okay.
All those guys are gonna be going out. So yeah, we definitely gotta go out tonight and go kick it with some other drummer homies.
I'm playing a gig.
That would be great.
Oh, are you playing? Where are you playing tonight?
I'm playing Tootsies.
Nice.
Yeah.
Make that bag. But yeah, so being yourself though, and just like, especially I feel like a huge thing too is being a good hang. And I think that falls into being yourself. Like, right. and I had to learn that. Like I had experiences like going into the session world and like filling in for other people and like doing shit. I had to learn to like not try to cater to their personality or yeah. their humor or their whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If I got to sit there and I just don't, you know, vibe with what they're saying or what they're joking about, or I don't get it, I'm not going to try to act like I get it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, you just be you, man. Yeah. And you're
it's
not going
to not
everybody.
To be yourself.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah.
That's a really beautiful answer to all of that. I mean, what I'm hearing is just like being yourself, that actually translates to then on the drums, like you're going to play your best, you're going to play free yeah. And that's obviously has translated to people around you. And
that's, dude,
that's super cool.
I appreciate it.
It's a good segue also, because in terms of just like social media,
for sure,
and it's clear that you do care about other people and like care about inspiring. Because you started that, what's it called? The Phil for Thought series, which I think is brilliant. Yeah. If you haven't seen that, go to his Instagram and check it out. I think it's honestly like a really beautiful thing that you're starting.
Thanks,
and, dude. I already wanted to have you on, but I saw that and I was like, oh, we definitely... Like this guy gets it, because it's never just about the drums.
Absolutely.
Like we talk a lot about other topics on this podcast. It's drums are kind of like what gets you in the room.
Yes. But big part is mental, bro.
Yeah.
A lot of it is, I feel like 50% of your playing is mental. If you're having a shitty day up here, it'll show in your playing.
Yeah.
You know,
And sometimes that shitty day will make you play better. Sometimes.
It's true.
But that's very true. Sometimes it's just like, if it's like shitty enough and you've like retreated into yourself and become depressed, you repress some emotion. Sometimes you're like, I just can't let it out. Like because if I let it out, I'm just going to like be back here on the kit crying.
Yeah.
Like, well, maybe you should. Yeah, maybe you should be back there on the kit just crying and just.
It's wailing.
People go like, that was the best show of my life.
But yeah, talk to us about like how you, like what is the, for those that haven't seen the Phil for Thought thing I was talking about, and then just, let's just talk about how you see social media for drummers.
For sure.
Especially this new, the new generation.
Absolutely, dude. Yeah. Well, the Phil for Thought, I think what really inspired that for me was even just shit I was going through.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, still go through. Like I have alopecia, that's why I'm bald. And... I that was hard for me, bro. Cause like my hair was like my safety blanket. My hair was my fucking doing the windmills and shit and coming with the hard whips and like, you know what I mean? Like I that was a huge part of just like my plan, I felt like.
Yeah.
You know what identity. I mean?
Yeah,
literally.
And that was a huge, after we played with Nickelback, we started a headline tour and I was just losing clumps here. If anyone doesn't know what alopecia is, it's like an autoimmune disease. And I was born with it. So it's like every 12 years, 13 years, I'll lose a shit ton of hair.
Wow, okay.
And it can be triggered too, like by stress. Is that correct?
Stress, food allergies, and sometimes it just happens. Like again, I had full set of hair, beard for years.
Yeah. When I met you, your hair was long.
And it just happened out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It happened out of nowhere.
I would have had no clue. While you were sitting here, I was like, oh, cool. He
went bald.
He shaved his head. It looks good. Like, cool.
Thanks, dude. Yeah. But so for me, that was just like learning that your identity, your style, what you own, all of that shit is so irrelevant if you're in a public eye. If anyone follows you or gives a fuck about you just for that one little thing, and if you change that one little thing about yourself and you're still that raw you doing what you do, if they don't support you, then fuck them. Like, it's your life. You know what I mean? And for me, I think I had to learn myself that like, it's literally not about like looks and all of that is not your identity. It's the true core of a musician that you are, your spirit, your soul, your energy, what you portray. It doesn't matter what you look like, what color you are, how much you weigh, how long your hair is. All of that's irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know
those
what
are
I mean?
All superficial, like more tangible, of course. I think absolutely, that's why human nature, we go to that.
Absolutely.
Deeper level there for sure.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. And so, yeah, I wanted to start the Phil for Thought stuff just to kind of like remind not only drummers, but just people in general that we all have our flaws. We all have things that we got to work on. That shouldn't stop us from thriving. That shouldn't stop us from pushing ourselves to reach a certain goal that we know is realistic, that we see and we envision every night and we manifest for ourselves. And as human beings, we have strong powers ourselves to be able to manifest things in our life. But you got to show how bad you want it. You got to show God or the universe, whatever you want to call it, you got to show how hungry you are. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, even, you know, with hair, without hair, I still headbang. I still do my thing. I kind of go even harder now because I felt like I needed to compensate for being bald. So I I spit all over myself, not on purpose, but it's just shit that just happens. Like, snot coming out of my nose and like, dude, it's and
dude, going all in.
Oh my God. And I've lost like, I lost my eyelashes. So it's like sweat just comes down and just like my eyes are just like stinging, but I'm just like, I just don't care. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
And so, yeah,
you know, I think Jen's from Meshuggah.
Their drummer,
their vocalist, who's that you made a Jens.
Oh, did I?
I was like, that's the face that he made. I'm like,
dude, your he's
I'm
in it,
pain
bro.
Face is that the face that he makes when he's just up there.
He's
like, he's got the best, like he's headshot photos, plane photos.
Oh yeah,
for that reason. Yes,
I got some bad faces too, and then now like I got veins, got like veins in my head to like when I'm playing, they like pop. And it looks like I got like spaghetti noodles in my fucking skin. I'm like, oh my God. But yeah, dude. So like the Fill for Thought stuff, all in all, is I just want to, and especially with like these arena shows we got coming up, this tour coming up with Jason Aldean, a lot of the festivals we're playing, like doing stuff there too. And like continue that and showing people like where you can be despite like the barriers that you've had to push through. And you might be tired and you might be scarred and you might be, you know, you might be feeling winded. But man, it's like you'll reach a certain point to where it's like you go through those things for a reason, because I feel like that's God, or that's the universe preparing you for such a turnaround for yourself. But it's a matter of you pushing yourself, and especially through those barriers, like continuing the consistency, you know what I mean? And so yeah, that for me was huge. And so that's why I started the Fill for
Man, good
stuff.
On you for having that mindset. I mean, I can't imagine people have, you know, setbacks all the time, but losing your hair, I mean, that's sucks. After you've already been here, so people sort of like already knew you in a different way, or
for sure.
Visually.
For sure.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man. And then with social media, without, especially Instagram, and again, like, I don't have the most followers. I don't have the most, like, I just liked to, the whole reason why I started posting content is because, one, when COVID hit, tours got canceled, shows got canceled. What am I going to do to keep branding myself, to push myself? I don't want to keep filming myself on a GoPro in a basement or at the rehearsal spot for whatever band I'm playing for.
Yeah.
So I partnered with, shout out to Paul Raymond, producer, videographer, photographer in Michigan. Super nice dude, crazy good work, insane videography and photography skills. Dude's fucking nuts. Mm-hmm. But he was like, yo, I fuck with your band. I'd love to have you out. And if you want to do a cover for free, see if you like it. And I was like, fuck yeah, cool. And I went out and he had his own studio, live room, great setup, a lot of space. And we hit it off, we vibed. And we kind of like made a deal of like, I'll come this many times a month and I'll give you this much a month. And we'll pump out content. And that's what we did. So I would drive during like the shutdown, quarantine shit, everything. I would drive an hour and a half to the studio every day. And I worked for a cultivation industry in Michigan. For a couple companies, and I would de-leaf these huge plants, or like trim, or you know, feed, or you know, transplant, whatever.
Yeah,
it's a cool word.
And then I'd
de-leaf.
Go, yeah, dude, it's a bitch. It sucks.
Yeah, I bet.
Anyone that works in the cannabis industry and does that, they know how much that sucks. And trellising blows ass. Yeah. But. I would
look
do that.
Up trellising.
I would do that, and then I would go straight to the studio and just pump out content. And I just loved it. And it changed the game for me. Like,
were you, just to cut you off quickly?
No, you're good.
Were you inspired by other drummers at that time doing that? Like, were you like, okay, I gotta, obviously you wanna be yourself, but
for sure.
Were you looking at other people doing it to kind of give you clearance? So like, yep, this is the move to definitely.
There's like a handful of drummers that I just watched growing up, like Kobus. I feel like he was one of like first YouTube drummers to like really pop off on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I remember watching, he did a cover of When I Walk, You Move, just like that. When I walk, you move. And it was just the sickest fucking drum cover.
You remember his Fireflies cover also? That was like still, like whenever I hear that song, I think of his cover of it.
Yeah, dude. And
really unique playing. Yeah.
So dudes like that.
Wait. Before we even move on from that, favorite drum cover, like when the first thing that pops into your head when you're like, "This is," or at least top three, because I know
that he's done or anybody
like that when you think of like stuff that you've seen, you're like, yeah, that was
content
sick
in general.
Yeah. Definitely that, the Cobus okay. one, the Ludacris yeah. song.
That's one. You got two more.
I know. I gotta think. Tough.
The pressure's on.
That's a really good question, dude. It's the Eric Moore video.
Oh yeah. Get your freak on. Yeah.
Got him.
Matty Garskas is pretty damn good too.
Yes, but I gotta give credit to Travis Barker. He did Soulja Boy.
Yeah.
In the early 2000s, and that was very inspiring.
Well, shit, that's like actually official, is that you can look that up on Spotify. So like
it's the drum cover
his version is on
way.
It's one of the
Totally listening to that on my way home.
I was listening to that a couple weeks back. I was like, oh shit, this is on here, cool.
That is so rad.
Yeah.
But so those I'd say are my top. So started doing covers with Paul, and just the biggest thing is consistency. And I think also personality, and again, putting yourself out there. Like, and it's hard, like talking in front of a camera, and it's hard trying to be like, hi, welcome to the show. Yeah. And like, you know, like it's
welcome to the channel, guys.
I don't know what that was.
Was that a perfect impression of me?
it's hard finding that sweet balance of like being yourself and doing that. Like putting on this whole character. You know what I
Make
mean?
Make sure to smash that subscribe button.
Yeah.
Do I have to smash it, or can I gently touch it?
Yeah. And I think also any drummers that watch this or see this from my Instagram or their Instagram, whatever, and you're like, man, I want to post content. I got a Yamaha EAD-10. I want to start doing this. I think a big thing for me that like pushed me, because like I think now even more than before, the algorithm changes so much. And it's so, I don't know. You see something stick, you see something work, try to do it again, milk it for as long as you can. I know so many people that do that, and it just works great. And they're up to like 150,000 followers, and they're doing, but it's amazing. It's amazing. Milk the system. Work the system.
Yeah.
But I think for me, it's like, I just love doing it and being creative. So it's like, that's the only reason why I do it in general. Like, I don't plan on having a million followers. I know I'm going to make an impact in the drum community. And I know I'm going to like leave some sort of positive mark in my life. Dude, that's my whole sole purpose on this earth. You know what I mean? But all in all, I think using certain things to your advantage, right? So like, I think a big thing, so SJC, for example, shout out to SJC, shout out to Mike, shout out to Travis, shout out to the whole team. They're all rad. Chris, working on what you, if you know, you know. All of them are fucking sick. I, starting out with the covers, everything like that, a big goal for me was SJC. And especially Paul, the engineer, was a big motivator in that too. He was like, it'd be so sick if you got like some sort of deal with SJC or whatever. And that was a huge goal. That was a huge goal for me. Endorsements in general was a huge goal, because that was something I was just like, we were like, all right, it's time to step it up. We're going to brand me. We're going to do the, and it was just consistency. But with SJC, I paid for my first SJC kit, stock kit, tuxedo kit, gorgeous, little gold, black, I think it was just gold, black, and white kit. Shiny. Fucking sick, dude. So cool. Got that. It's like, I want to thank SJC for this tuxedo kit. These are the specs. You'll be seeing this kit in my upcoming content videos. Hope you guys enjoy. Make sure you check out SJC drums. I'm making it look like SJC is doing me a favor. They didn't do me any favor.
Yeah.
At that point, you were a customer.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Exactly. But for marketing purposes, branding yourself, what the public eye knows, it's all a question up here. That makes them think, oh, did he get that kit for free? Did he get a discount on that kit? Does he have a relationship with SJC? He just started playing SJC. Like, how did he get this kit? It's all subliminal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where people have such a short attention span. People have, they don't give a fuck about the long, It's right there, what they see in that moment, the first impression of that first 5 seconds, they see shiny gold kit. Thank you, SJC.
Yeah.
Cool. They're like, fuck yeah. Double tap, fire emoji comment, move on.
Yep.
And in their mind, they're like, wow, okay, yeah. Now they start to associate Devin with SJC. So I kept doing that.
It is brilliant.
And I did that, and I did that with other companies too. But then when I got approached with the endorsements and shit like that, it wasn't the companies I was promoting, which is crazy how that shit works. But now it's, I have an insane relationship with SJC. They're in the middle of making me an insane kit for tours that we got coming up and the shows that we got coming up. And it's just going to be a fucking head turner, dude.
I can't wait to see that kit.
Bro, okay, let me just give you some specs really quick. Yeah, let me give you some specs. Tease us, please. So let me turn this properly. 18 by 20. So 20 inch kick. Extended hoops. Okay. I'm not going to say the finish because I want the finish to be a little like.
Yeah, that's the surprise.
Oh, yeah.
But so 18 by 20, 20 inch kick. 5 by 12. So 12 inch rack. 6 by 13. 16 by 16. 18 by 18. 7 by 14 with an inch and a half vent hole.
Yo, let's go.
Birch racks, mahogany floors, maple kick, maple snare.
Mm.
So
that's
excited.
That's going to cut.
Die cast hoops. Punch,
yeah. It's going to be great.
Pretty sure gold hardware. Yeah. All gold hardware. Die cast hoops. Black stain on the inside. Like my signature. I have it on my kit right now. The last kit they made for me. It's like my signature on the badges and shit. So excited, dude.
SJC started as a hobby and a dream out of the basement of my grandma's house when I was just a kid. We'd go to shows, sneak into the Vans Warped Tour, drive across the country to the NAMM show, and design the craziest drums you could think of. Thanks to all your support, it has grown into something beyond what I thought was possible. We're proud to craft drums for the most creative drummers on the planet. We may have grown, but we're still the same grassroots SJC, and we're just getting started.
So it's like, dude, now from doing that and from putting myself out there and putting in that work, incorporating, and I love this, bro, the three P's: practice, patience, persistence. Most important thing when it comes to anything that you do, bro, the most important thing is incorporating those three P's because they all revolve around each other. Practice. You're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to see any results with anything unless you practice. Yeah. But in order to put in that time to practice, in order to dedicate those hours, you need to have patience.
Yeah.
And you need to have that patience in order to practice. If you want to practice and if you want to get far with what you're doing, you need to be patient with yourself. But the most important thing is being persistent, not doing it for a month, stopping for 5 months, getting back into it, and then stopping. It's like, no, you need to be on top of that. But in order to be persistent, you need to be patient. And you got to fucking practice because you got to keep getting better. So it's like it all revolves around each other. And I feel like that was the biggest thing that I learned for myself. It was like, I didn't even think about the exterior shit. It was just, I loved doing it. It was a way for me to spend my time. In my mind, it was like a job, but also my passion. But like, I needed to do it. I needed to, it's not if, it's not, you know, how, it's, I'm going to go make content this week. I'm going to batch stock 10 videos and I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And making it a lifestyle, you know what I mean? And just like it changed everything for me. Just like the people I've met, people I've talked to, the companies that I work with now, and the people I play for, the people I've done session work for. And that's why I always encourage drummers. I always encourage just like getting on the content shit. You don't need to have a crazy setup. You don't need to have all the expensive, crazy shit. All you need is a fucking phone. And maybe if you weren't in, you know, your fifth grade bedroom, or you're not in your garage that, you know, looks like a fucking hoarder stack.
Yeah.
That might help a little bit.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
Besides, you know, being mindful of that, but it's just putting yourself out there and learning the way. I didn't have anybody to tell me like, do this a certain way, do this, use these hashtags. Mm-hmm. This is how this will work. Like, nobody told me shit. Like, I just had to figure it out myself. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Sometimes that's the best way. You
know, yeah, no, absolutely, yeah. Dude. And I don't know it all. You know what I mean? Like, and shit changes every day. But
I think one of the things, do you know Seth Godin is?
I bet if I see his face, I'm so good with faces.
He's like a marketing guru, genius. Okay. And he talks about the importance of letting kids ask questions of themselves and like, don't just give them the answer. He's like, if your kid comes to you and has a question,
yeah,
let them think about it first.
For sure.
Okay. Don't just be like, okay, here's this. Why do you think that is? Like, it's hugely important. Don't, because if someone just hands it to you,
And you didn't really process that. Yeah. Like, give them some time. They're like, if they're still struggling on it later, you can provide them with an answer.
Them,
but
yeah.
having that time to be like, well, no one gave me the answer. So I just had to be like, well, what do I want to do? What do I want to try?
Learning how to problem solve.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Learning how to problem solve.
Committing to learning how to problem solve is huge.
Feeling the accomplishment of figuring it out and like working through it and not giving up. It's like your kid starts football, doesn't like football. It's like, well, I'm not pulling you out and you're going to finish this season and you're going to accomplish this. Like, I'm not going to let you quit.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? It's about the journey too, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's a sense of principle, you know? Absolutely.
Dude, I love everything you're saying tonight. You're just crushing it.
Thanks, dude. You have fire, man.
I feel like usually I have more follow-up, but just like, I agree with everything you're saying. I think you have a really beautiful message about inspiring people.
I appreciate it, man.
I feel this way for me and people that have passions from a young age, like they're going to do it no matter the situation.
Yes.
Or no matter the city you live in or like the gear you have. So like you were doing that in Michigan, then
I was playing on scrap. You've
adapted here and now you're, shout out to Brian Clancy, you know, doing all those videos of his awesome studio, which we'll definitely
Flamrest.
Talk to him about. Yeah.
Shout out Flamrest.
Flamrest,
dude. Okay.
Might be the best name.
It's great.
Listen, I'm I hope Brian watches this. I want it to just be called Clancy Studios. I just want it to be called Clancy Studios, dude.
No, it's never going to be that.
It's never going to be. Is that a reference to the Fred Armisen bit?
Oh, Flamrest? Yeah. Right?
He has that video where he's like basically being like a Marco Miniman type.
Oh, it's incredible.
And he's like, describing this pattern. He goes, and then you play a Flamrest. And he says it like three times in a row. He's like,
yeah.
Flamrest.
I'm watching that later.
Oh my God. It's
that gets me every time.
Another video you have to send me.
Yeah.
I will send me. Yeah.
Oh my God. The whole notepad is just videos you got to send me after.
I think that's just another nice message of just like, if you have those passions, like you're going to, like you said, chase them and you're going to figure it out. And don't make excuses for, well, I don't have I don't have all these mics yet. I don't have the endorsement yet.
Dude,
and those things will come if you're doing it for the right reasons.
And especially like, it doesn't really matter the gear unless you're, if you're at a point to where you're trying to move to Nashville, you want to get called for road gigs, you want to play on Broadway, getting to that point, you kind of have to know enough about yourself as a drummer and getting used to your characteristics and kind of having your shit under control to where it's like, you kind of check all those boxes because you have to. You can't come in smelling like an armpit wearing a KFC shirt that says THC and you know what I'm saying? And just, you know.
Incredible analogy.
You know what I'm saying? And,
absolutely.
Dude, you know what? Okay, I got to say where that came up with my first time on Broadway. I'm thinking to myself, I was like, I'm new here. What am I like, what do I got to do? Like, what is my, like, you know what I'm saying? And I went to Tootsie's Rooftop.
Yeah.
And there's a drummer wearing that shirt and he was trying to do like stick flips and stuff like that. But it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. And I'm standing there and I'm like, typical drummer thing. I'm like, okay. And I'm looking around and everyone's into it. And everyone's just like, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'm like, All right. Yeah. I'm ready for this. I'm like, let's take this
let's
on.
Go, yeah.
But you need, so it's like a big thing is just those first impressions, man. And you want to nail those first impressions. So it's like, if you're playing in your basement for years, and I couldn't find musicians for years to play with other than my dad's cover band or, you know what I mean? Like, and I was playing in bars with my dad from like 6 to 14. And then I joined my first local band at 14. And then just like, I was homeschooled throughout middle school and high school. God bless my mother for getting through that, putting up with me. But I do my school, go play shows, go to rehearsals with dudes my age now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the biggest thing is just like, you know, if you're playing in your basement, if you're playing in your garage, whatever, you don't need to impress anybody. That's for you to practice. That's for you to dial in. That's for you to give a fuck about the craft. It doesn't matter. Honestly, like when it comes to tuning your kit, what kind of cymbals you have, whatever those little things are, it doesn't matter. It's about your structure, your dynamics, you working on certain things and get to knowing yourself as a drummer. You know what I'm saying? Like getting to know your tendencies, your bad habits, your good habits. You know what I mean? Like all those little things. But then when you're in the public eye and you're putting yourself out there and you're looking for opportunity, that's where it's like, okay,
You want to have a good sounding snare.
Put your foot forward.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Put on a nice fit. Spray some cologne. You know, take a shower, a little deodorant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Get a fresh pair of sticks out. You know, mm-hmm. make sure your cymbals are, you know, not beat the fuck and all cracked mm-hmm. and sound like, you know, like,
yep.
I think that's, you know, it's, those are the things you want to look out for and you want to make sure of when you're coming into a new environment. And especially if no one knows you, no one knows who the fuck you are. You're the new guy. It's like, that's an opportunity for you to come in and be like, people be like, whoa, who the fuck is that dude? I know he does something, or it's okay. Then you know what I mean?
Right.
Towards, and so it's just kind of knowing that and getting to know yourself. And you, some people naturally have that sense to where it's like a lot of artists, a lot of people that have that personality of like being out there and just like being themselves unapologetically.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
Woo! Wow.
We got there.
Yeah, I got there finally.
We'll fix it in post.
But that's something that's huge. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, I'd say just, you know, any young drummers, just worry about getting to know yourself and just watch people. Watch. That's what I did my whole life. I never took any drum lessons other than with my dad. Some like good drum homies of mine, they've shown me some shit. I'm like, oh, I'm going to steal that. I'm going to make that my own. Like,
exactly.
But it's just dialing in yourself. And again, like, that's why YouTube's a beautiful thing. Drumeo is a beautiful thing. Podcasts like this are a beautiful thing because you're like, huh, I've never seen this drummer play. I'm going to go to his Instagram. You're like, oh shit, I really love his snare, or I really love what cymbals he plays, or I really want this. Something that sticks in your mind as a consumer.
Yeah.
That makes you remember and it brings you back. You know what I mean? It's just little things like that to where it's so important.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
there's little things like,
yeah, man.
Do you know Forrest Rice?
Face. I can see his face.
he's a homie.
Okay.
Sick drummer, California dude.
Nice.
But he's like, I know. He goes, I will be known for like, I have a snare sound.
Yeah.
That's what, like, you know that you're going to have this badass snare sound.
Oh, I am
like
too,
that,
bro.
That, like, that's there you go. That's
big
cool.
on snare tones.
Yeah.
Poppy. I crank my shit and it sounds like a shotgun blast.
Yeah, baby.
You got that metal snare influence.
Love it, dude. Like. And I play two Bs.
Yeah, buddy.
So just fucking, glah, you know, I love it. Oh, I love it.
Meaty.
Yeah. Beefy. My skins don't like it and my cymbals don't like it. Shout out to Peisty. I don't know what I would do without Peisty. They spoil me. I'm too lucky. Javier and Kelly, and they're all just crazy supportive. And
you're with Thick Firth too?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And, nice. Shout out to Eric, Eric Gross, and you know that whole team is just insane. And again, same with SJC, Gibraltar, All Claire, like they're just like all crazy supportive, and I'm very lucky, very lucky.
Yeah, I have a friend who he actually just left Peisty, but he was on his way out. He was just like, dude, they were so good to me.
Yes.
They're like, they're great. Yes. Great to me. Like nothing but the nicest thing to say about them.
Yeah. Dude, and the biggest thing too is like I have a crash ride crack or whatever. I'll have a replacement at the next show and it sounds the exact same. Sounds the exact same. Or if they're out of what I had and they have to send me something else, I know it's going to sound great.
Yeah.
I know it's going to sound great, especially with Javier. Okay. Like for as long as I've been working with them now, he kind of knows like my preferences and like the taste and shit like that.
Yeah.
And he's just so on top of it, bro. It's so cool. I'm very lucky to be able to work with them big time.
Mm. One of SJC's most sought after snare drum shells, the Alpha Brass snare, is unparalleled both sonically and aesthetically. Featuring a 1.2 millimeter hammered brass shell and sleek single tube lugs, this snare drum is versatile enough for any playing style with plenty of attack and bottom end. On top of providing an amazing sound, it will also make you stand out from the crowd like never before. Head to sjcdrums.com to get a quote on your dream drum, or pick up an Alpha Brass snare drum using code DEVIN, DEVIN, before May 1st of 24 for 10% off. Limited quantity available. Act fast.
This conversation is just filling me with such.
I know.
A lot of links and some Peisty.
We always say like Nate and I are probably the most beneficiaries of doing these. Like we get to, you know, get all this wisdom firsthand.
You get all the juicy details.
It's nice, yeah. All the juicy details.
From all the drummers. You're like, give me that information.
Yeah, this is all, it's all, it's because it, the thing is, as artists, you spend a lot of, if you take the craft seriously, you're spending a lot of time thinking about it and like, well, how do I improve on what I have and what do I need to improve on most? Where, and a lot of that is dialing in the mental game. Like what is it that I need to be like? I've been really thinking about this a lot lately over the last week.
Okay.
Clarity of vision.
Okay.
Like knowing what it is that you want to be, what you want to communicate by not just your actions as a musician, but all of your actions. Like what is it that I want to communicate to the world by everything that I'm doing?
Yeah.
And these conversations, I don't know about you, Dan, but I'm always like, oh man, yeah, that's totally applicable to these things that I'm thinking, these big meta concepts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. These conversations are like total concepts.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
No, for sure. And I feel like, and that's the beautiful thing too about everybody being different is everyone has a different perspective on life and especially the craft of drumming in general.
Yes.
And it's so inspiring to even just like sit down and have a beer with another drummer. Just another person 100%. In general. And I think my favorite thing too is like, I love fly dates because I always meet somebody on the plane that I just hit it off with. And I'm not in the mood to like tell someone my life story or like I got my AirPods in and I'm chilling. But somehow, some way, we just start talking. And then I had a few times last year, I would take a picture with them after just because be like, I will always remember this in like encountering you in this experience.
You guys are
it's
both
so
like
emotional. It's like
afterwards,
a heart to heart. Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I don't know, dude, that's one of the most special things to me. You know what I mean? Is like being able to, it's the meaning of life, just being able to learn from one another
and
inspire each other. You know what I mean? That's why like first time I saw you play, I was like, oh my God, like this motherfucker's so smart. Like I mean, you can just tell you're just smart. And I think the biggest thing is just like for some drummers in their stage of life or in their journey, they need to work on or keep in mind seeing stuff like this. Like if a drummer sees you play or they see you play or me play or whatever, they don't get intimidated. They get inspired.
Yeah.
There's a difference between intimidation and being inspired and excited.
100%.
You know what I mean? Because
It's
like, naturally, everybody, no matter who you are, you'll always start out with that first feeling like, man, I wish I was that good. Or I wish I was. And it's that first, I wish I was.
It's hard. Yeah. It's jealousy, you know, the imposter syndrome.
Yeah, exactly,
comes up so much,
man. And trust me, I struggle with it too. Like, especially the imposter syndrome shit.
Levels,
like,
right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah. Cause you have these encounters where you're like, what the fuck? Like, holy shit.
And like, I heard something the other day. It was like, we're not supposed to see everyone's lives as much as we are, like with social media. Like, this is not normal.
Yeah. We're not adapted to that.
Yeah.
That's a totally new thing.
Absolutely.
And it's crazy. Now we just see everything. Yeah.
So I try to keep like a fine line of like, that's how I'll see people like shit talk on their story or call someone out or like just go on about how they had a bad day, but then they're going to post a like guitar video after or drum video after. Yeah. I'm like, like, I can't do that. You know what I mean? Like I use my platform to like inspire
just
people. If I'm
weed,
having a bad day, I'm going to spark one and listen to some John Mayer and, you know, play on my e-kit.
Yeah, man.
I'm happy.
You've heard of Drum Supply, but you got to see their shop. It's a drum shop experience like no other. They're packed with all the gear a working drummer needs and so many parts, noise toys, and accessories. It's a toy store. Curated cymbals, kits, and snares. The hands-on percussion room is nuts. And their custom shop work is fast and affordable. Andy and the guys know their stuff, and they're ready to help. And the big news? They've just moved to an awesome new location near the corner of East Trinity Lane and Dickerson Pike. Still in East Nashville, just a couple miles from their old spot, the all-new Drum Supply is twice as big, featuring a dedicated cymbal room, a lesson space, and even more drum gear than ever. Go see the new Drum Supply shop for yourself. Now open 11 to 5 at 2211 Dickerson Pike and online at drumsupply.com.
I think there's a fine line of like, You know, for me, like, I wouldn't use social media if it wasn't my business, if it wasn't my job, like my career. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be on there if I can be like, just went on a hike, it's refreshing, gonna go down and get me a dirty chai. Like,
yeah,
no one gives a fuck. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's so, I don't know. It's
a balance. Yeah, and, you know, social media, it's a tool, right? Yeah. I think you said that earlier. Like, yes, you're using it, and you've been super smart about how you've been it for, whether that's to inspire people to just post killer drum content or just for endorsements. Like,
thanks, man.
Multiple uses, of course.
I appreciate that a ton.
Do you know who JP Bouvet is?
Of course. I do, yeah.
I might have to see his face.
Great drummer. Was
mohawk.
A Berkeley guy.
He's had the mohawk.
Guitar Center Drum Off winner.
Yep.
Okay. It's skinny dude.
Super smart. Huge. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Which
he, like, just went
what's
back
he
to
doing
school.
Now?
Well, I don't know exactly what he's doing, but he finished. he got his master's, I think. And now he's
brilliant. Yeah, first he's of all, drumming. I love him. I love his playing. He's amazing. But he described himself. I'm a very selfish social media user. He follows no people. Yeah. Literally zero.
Like nobody.
And he just posts, and he's like, I just get on there and I post for the sake of my business.
Whoever gives a shit, thank you. Yeah. And I mean, I kind of have that perspective too. Like, the only people I follow is like people I've met, musicians I've met, artists, touring, like people I've met on the road. You know what I mean? Like, they're all in the music industry somehow, some way, play for somebody, do something behind the scenes. You know what I mean? Like, because I do see social media as, if you're trying to brand yourself and you're trying to expand doing these things, again, it comes with first impression, that ratio. If you have 3,000 followers and you're following 4,000 people or 2,000 people, then it's like that kind of gives you an immediate vibe. Mm-hmm. But when you see someone with like 5,000 followers and they're following like 300 people, it's like, okay, obviously this person's doing something. And companies look at that. And you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's all like resume shit. But yeah, so I do get where he's coming from with that, but I'd feel like such a dick if I followed nobody and they followed me.
I'd
see them in person and be like, what's up, dude?
that's the thing, bro. Like when I look at that, I was like, hey, JP, how dare you not get into the freaking pit with the rest of us? Right. Like, you're just going to get up here and post great content that teaches everybody how to play drums better. And then you don't just waste hours looking at all the vapid shit that we all do.
The void of comments.
Yeah.
And
like
feuds.
Yeah.
He is a really good educator.
He's great.
If you listen to the way he describes concepts.
He's
brilliant.
If you haven't check out his content.
I'd love to see what he's doing now, because I remember that video is legendary. Like,
he's a G.
He's crazy.
Yep.
Hell yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. JP, I respect
you. We love you.
I'd love to meet him.
Please follow us back.
Does he still have the mohawk?
he won't though.
He does not have the mohawk.
Okay.
Yeah. That was a cool look though.
Not the same as it ever was. Sonic Drums is the fledgling but fierce drum and percussion manufacturer based out of the Pinery, Colorado. They started their first year in business swinging and continue to punch up at the percussion industry at large. Sonic Drums is designing and manufacturing new, innovative, and better-made percussion accessories like the NATO 1, an industry-first, continually adjustable throw-off, or another industry-first, the 12-point drum key. Sonic Drums also specializes in steam-bent snare drums, using domestic and exotic tone woods equipped with all brass hardware. You can demo and buy Sonic Drums, original accessories, and snares in Nashville at Nelson Drum Shop, or meet them in person at the Music City Drum Show in July. Check them out at sonicdrums.com.
I just want to bookend it kind of to back to Austin Snell and tour, just because that's where we're currently in the middle of tour, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're 24 years old, right?
Yes,
so I mean, there's a lot of guys that may never even get to that level in terms of playing with more established artists and doing, you know, bigger tour, stadium, arena gigs. So, I mean, how has that adjustment been going from drumming in with your dad in the basement and Michigan, and now like you've sort of arrived and... Yeah, how do you stay fresh, and how has that adjustment been?
Dude, it's been crazy, especially coming from the metalcore world, and that, like, the biggest shows I had played was like 1,500, maybe 2,000, you know what I'm saying? Which is sick, and it's huge, and it's like 2,000 kids, like, jump, jump, bah, and you see everyone just like, it's a great energy. It's sick. The community's sick. But I think like growing up, and especially since I joined my first band called The Four of Us Are Dying.
Of course.
When I was 14.
Hell yeah.
But mind you, they were all like my age. So they let this happen.
Your mom's like,
the melodrama. Yeah. The melodrama.
Kids good.
Yeah. And it was so funny. But ever since then, it's just been like a ladder, right?
Yeah.
And it, coming into this now has been so crazy. And especially it happens so fast too with Austin, like, and with David Morris too, honestly, because like right when I moved to Nashville, a dude, shout out to Jared Conklin, if you watch this, I love you, buddy. I worked in the back of the house at a restaurant with him when I was 16. Hmm. And ever since, he just covered in tattoos, played guitar. Now he plays all the time, which is so cool. He was so kind to me all the time. Such a nice dude. My first tour when I was 18, I graduated high school that summer, went on my first month run. And he came out to Chicago, gave me a card with $100 in it. And he was like, have a good tour, buddy. And so just the sweetest dude.
Yeah,
wow. He sent me a DM of David Morris's story saying he was looking for a drummer. And he already had a handful of dudes. And I looked at it and I was like, well, he's going to be like, yeah, I pick you. Ignored. I was laying in bed that night, smoked a joint, laying in bed mid-smoke. And I go back to it. I'm like, fuck it, I'll DM him. And he hit me up. He's like, I'll send you my TM's number. And I talked to Ronnie. We hit it off. I love Ronnie. I love David. I love Amadeus. I love that whole crew. And just hit it off. And then we did a run with Russell Dickerson and a headline tour. And even that, like 3,000 people, like it was just starting to climb more and just those experiences. And like, that was so much fun. And now it's like with Austin going from that first Whiskey Jam show, then I went out on tour with David Morris and I missed probably like 4 or 5 shows with Austin. And then my shows with David were done and then festival season kicked in and we just started playing like huge fucking shows out of nowhere. And like 10,000 people, 8,000 people, like, and I'm just like, what the fuck, dude? Like, but it came so natural, like natural to me. And it just like, I ate it the fuck up.
Yeah.
And it just fueled me even more.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
To where I wasn't even nervous. I didn't even think twice about like, oh, I'm going to play back. Oh, the track's so good. Let me make sure that everything's aligned. I was like, no, like everything felt great. I was like, I didn't even think twice about anything. And I smoked a joint on stage from one of the, I've done it quite a few times. Anytime I can smoke on stage.
I was going to ask, like, do you get nerves? But it sounds like you don't, or you just know how to
adrenaline,
calm
bro.
Them down.
Yeah. I just get adrenaline.
Let that overtake. Right?
Like 30 minutes before we go on, I just like, it's that. It's like I just need to breathe and I just get like the jitters and like the little tickle in my tummy and I'm just like so ready to go. I don't want to wait. I want to. And then it's like once I go out on stage, I like, I'm, yeah, and again, we're open for like Jelly Roll, Keith Urban, just a bunch of country big dudes, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
I'm going like, what the fuck is up? Like, get up. Like, yeah. Losing my shit and
the fuck is up,
and
yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And I love it, dude. And it's so with all of this stuff now, it's just like growing. Playing with Nickelback, shout out to Dan, their drummer, insane dude, one of the nicest people I've ever met. Meeting Brantley's crew, Brantley Gilbert, shout out to that whole camp, Noah Henson. Great buddy. Love jamming with him. We'll have a mean smoke sesh every other month or so and spend the whole fucking day there and we'll just smoke flower and jam in a studio. He's got a little e-kit set up.
That's a great day.
He's got some good drum tones and shit with his dog. He's got a gorgeous studio. And he'll just record and we'll jam for like 3 hours. And I'll jam with his kids and stuff and like it's so much fun, dude. Great family. The Henson family's badass.
Awesome.
But yeah, just like those experiences and like, dude, it's just been mind blowing, and I'm so fucking hungry. I'm so like I will never stop being my own freight train. You know what I mean? Like I support everybody, I love everybody, I want to see everybody win, but I focus on me.
I'm worried about my shit. I'm not worried about this. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about being as good as this person. I'm not worried about, you know, oh, I'm not playing as big of a show as this person. No, I am me in this moment. Blinders are on and I'm fucking angry. Not angry, but like I'm fucking like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, fuel, they just like, passion, I'm just, yeah. I just have a burning fire under my crotch and it's just fucking, you know,
right there. Yeah.
Yo, did you, have you ever seen the show Billions?
No.
Okay. There, it's pretty damn good. It's wild, but it's centered, doesn't matter. It centers on on a billionaire and this dude in politics who's trying to like take him out basically.
Okay.
And one of the lines, there's a dude who's like a motivational speaker he's in like some spin class and this guy's asking him some questions, trying to get some information to nail this billionaire and like put him in prison essentially. Yeah. And the guy says, he's like, so are you saying I should do such and such? He's like, I'm saying you should sharpen your odachi and cut a hole through the universe to get to where the fuck you're going. And I was like, yo, that is awesome.
That's hard, bro. That's hard.
That's hard shit. That's that energy I'm feeling from you.
Hey, man, I'll take it. Because
yeah, I'm going there.
Yeah.
I love it. Great. I want you to win, but I'm fucking going there.
It's one of those things where like, and again, that's where like, for me, I'm a huge people pleaser. I love making everybody happy. I love going out of my way for everybody. But it's one of those things where you need to find that sweet balance of like having your homies, having your circle, like you have your crew, you have your community, but then you need to worry about yourself too and not breaking yourself to make everyone happy, accepting every gig, accepting, like filling your plate so much to where it's like, it's better to dial in one thing and be like lock the fuck in then take on 50 things and your work is subpar and they're like, yeah, great drummer, but this dude just was not on his shit. And obviously we're not going to call him back, but good dude, good intentions. Yeah. You don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
No. You know what I mean?
And well said. Yeah.
I've been that guy. I don't want to be that guy.
I've been that guy. I've been that guy too, dude. I've been, I'm sure everyone has, you know what I'm saying? Like, and you need those experiences to be better. You need those experiences to like, really understand what the fuck you're doing, you know, because it just takes those learning lessons, bro. Process of elimination.
Is there an experience that you can recall that happened to you?
Oh, dude, I got hit up by the Devil Wears Prada to fill in for them. And I had like a month, month heads up. And I like studied the songs to the best of my capability, but I just wasn't cutting it because I wasn't staying true to the record. I was trying to put my own little flair in. I was trying to do my own little things. Like, no, buddy, this is the big leagues. Like, you need to serve the song and that's it. Like, don't worry about adding your flavor. Don't worry about adding your texture. Like, that's where being a session drummer is different than being a session drummer and then playing for an artist and like, or being in a band and you having that. It's two different worlds. So that was just a huge learning curve for me of like, okay, I need to, if I'm going to take on a certain responsibility and if I'm going to do something, I need to do it by the book, not try to find a shortcut or do something to make it easier or what I think will work. It's no, you have to do the annoying work. You have to go through the nitty gritty. You have to go through those things to be able to learn. And without that experience at 21 and doing that and being in such a high pressure situation that was so like intimidating. I needed that to be where I am now and to be the drummer I am now. You know what I'm saying? That's why like, all of those things happen for a reason. Yeah. It might hurt in the moment, but it's going to do you so much more good than it is bad. But, and that's also up to you though.
Yes.
That's also up to you. You can either take that bad experience. You're like, no, screw this. Drumming's fucking stupid. Like, or you're going to be like, you know what?
Also
I'm going to learn. But it's like, I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to make a better drummer out of myself because of it. And it's a story to tell. You know what I mean? And that's life, bro.
I love it.
That's fucking life.
So how did that gig go? You took the gig and...
Yeah, and I got sent home.
Yeah.
I got sent home because I wasn't cutting it.
I'm sure that was a band that you would looked up to as a kid, right? So that also probably didn't help.
It stabbed me in the heart, bro. Like, it was devastating. Wow. It was so devastating. But, like, that's just one of those things where it's just, again, you need to experience that to grow. Like, obviously, I had to go through that to pushed through a certain barrier that was stopping me from growing. To be able for from God putting me where I am now, I wouldn't be here without that experience.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's, yeah, it sucked in the moment, but I'm fucking grateful for it.
Dude.
Well, I'm so grateful for it. Totally.
Thing,
for real.
The thing about that is it's a risk to say yes. Because yeah. What if I go in and I can't cut it?
Yeah.
And they send me home and then it goes around that I couldn't cut it on this thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's a risk.
Yeah.
But the thing about that is failure teaches you more
facts
than winning.
And I bounced the fuck back. I didn't stop.
Right.
I did not stop. I did not stop a single beat. I kept, like, I got home, pulled up my fucking bootstraps, sucked it up, and I went on. I was supposed to do double duty on a tour with my previous band. So, and Prada was direct support. So I was going to be pulling double duty. Shout out Giuseppe, their drummer. Super nice fucking dude. Crazy nice dude. Crazy great drummer. So talented. But yeah, so again, that was just an experience that I needed to have. And was again, that, I'm so grateful for it, dude.
Yeah, man. Has that like never give up mentality, was that instilled in you early on, would you say, as a kid?
I think I just looked a lot. And again, shout out to my dad. I love my dad. He's yep. such a clown. Biggest stoner you'll ever meet. But he was a hammer growing up. Like, he taught me to hit hard, tune your snare high, and this is how you do a... Like, you know, that, like, that was probably the first few, that and posture, like, not yeah. playing like this, but like playing like this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like,
yeah,
the, all the little motions and using your body. My dad instilled that in me, but now my dad was very cocky, very, 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 very cocky. Like, yeah. You think you're the baddest drummer in Detroit, motherfucker? I'm the baddest drummer in Detroit, motherfucker.
Let's go.
What? Open it for Dio. Yeah. That's my dad. You know what I mean? And are you going to hit this or what? You know, like that type of shit.
Yeah.
And he's got such a good heart, but my dad did not practice. My dad did not. Like, he never sat in the basement for hours.
That's
like,
so good.
My dad wanted, and he'll attest to this and be like, yeah, yeah, motherfucker's right. Motherfucker's right. My dad wanted yeah. to get pussy. He wanted to be a rock star. He wanted to be Tommy Lee.
Yeah, yeah.
And I told Tommy Lee that because Tommy Lee reached out to me, shared one of my videos in like 2022 or something.
What?
And he's just the nicest dude. And we'll talk here and there. Obviously, I don't want to be a punisher. Like, I'm Mr. Tommy Lee, how you doing today? Like, but every once in a while we'll talk, and he's so supportive, dude.
Remember when you were Motley Crue? That was awesome.
You remember that one time you were Motley Crue? You know that? But no, so like, I looked at a lot of that, and again, my mom was so scared for me to play in bars with my dad, and because my dad was playing in strip clubs, and my dad had me in strip clubs at such a young age. They were closed, they were not open on the poles and shit.
Right.
But they'd make me a plate of mozzarella sticks. My dad's setting up, you know, my dad's band's setting up in there, and I'm sitting and see a swing on stage. I want to go play on it. My dad's like, "Dad, don't fucking touch that.
That's not a clean swing."
Yeah, he's like, "Don't go on that fucking swing." He's like, "You sit down." And
I feel like I'm really getting to know your dad through this.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. This is the perfect. But my dad is the most supportive father that anyone could ever ask
there
for.
There it is.
Like, dude, like my dad growing up, especially I could only imagine like, cause I don't necessarily want kids. I can only imagine though, having a kid, a mini you, and my dad played drums his whole life. So he was passionate about it. And me having my own seed at 2 years old playing, I would lose my shit. I would lose it. And my dad did too. And so like school talent shows and little stuff like that, any chance my dad could bring the kit from home and deck it out, just cymbals just all over the place. And just like, you know, I grew up playing like 24-inch mirrored chrome Ludwig kit, 24-inch kick, 14-inch rack, 16 floor, 18 floor. Just huge. Huge thing. My dad would bring that.
What was your first kit? Do you remember?
TKO. A TKO red kit.
TKO.
Yeah, and my dad
That's
put
a new one.
My dad put Remo skins on it. He got it from a drum shop in Dearborn.
Oh.
Dearborn, cool. Michigan. And he decked it out. And that was my first kit. And then he gave me one of his kits, which was a mirrored chrome Ludwig. Really old vintage kit. And I fucked it up. And then my dad's kit was a Tama Rockstar. Two 24-inch kicks, 13, 14, 16, 18, Roto Toms, Bengal Tiger Stripe cloth wrap. Wasn't wood shells. I can't think of the, like, it's not fiberglass, but it's like a light material.
Is it acrylic?
Not acrylic. It was like, it's not a foam, but it's like something you could break. You could definitely break it, like the material. Mm-hmm. It's like a pet. I can't think of the name of it.
Interesting.
But then he gave me that. Once I hit like 14, I joined my first band. He was like, I'm hanging up the gloves. All my shit's yours. And he took me to every local gig I play, because I was playing local shows every weekend, every week, back to back. And my dad and my stepmom were there throughout every step of the way. My mom, she handled the homeschooling part. She handled the, like, the nitty gritty shit that my dad was like, fuck that, Julie. You want to homeschool him? That's your problem, not mine. You know? But I love my parents, bro. I love them with all my heart. But I learned a lot from my dad of what not to do.
Sure.
And I think that instilled
Don't
in
play
me.
On the swing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That instilled in me a certain, like, work ethic. I feel like me and my brother both have it. Between, like, the traits I get from my father and then my mom's, like, discipline and, like, by the books shit, mm-hmm. got this nice little blend. Yeah, man. You know? And, yeah, I love my
family. Balance is always good.
Love my family.
Yeah. Hey, drummers. Do you need a place in Nashville to practice on actual drums? Drumbox is Nashville's newest drum practice studio. Book sessions online and get the space to yourself. It's fully equipped with two kits, cymbals, hardware, and even sticks are provided. 30-minute, 1-hour, and 2-hour sessions are available at www.drumbox.space. And use the coupon code NDP25 for 25% off your first session. Again, that's www.drumbox.space.
Let's jump into it.
Lit.
Cool. We'll do some quick questions.
Cool.
We'll just, yeah, we don't have to, it doesn't have to be like 2-word answers, but yeah. we'll keep it brief if we can.
Yeah, whatever you want.
I was going to ask, like, speaking of fills, just a go-to fill if you have one, or a rudiment maybe that maybe even subconsciously you find yourself like, yeah, I just always play this.
I love 6-stroke rolls leading into mm-hmm. like linear fills.
Okay.
Yeah.
Especially okay. like doing it like 30-second notes and fitting fills that fast in, like, so we're going like, you know, I'm like, wow, 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 wow.
Yeah.
Or like, like little shit like that. I love Herdas too.
Dude, the way you emote, not only impersonations, but emoting drum literature is also like,
oh bro, I could have a whole separate Instagram to where it's like all drum videos that are verbal. You know what I mean?
Devin Sounds or something.
There's the band that I'm playing with tonight. We end Freebird whenever we get it with this halftime thing, and everyone takes a little fill. And at least half of the time when I'm doing the fill, I'll just grab the mic and just verbalize the fill instead of playing it. And every time I do it, because whenever the band is like, I would love that, each time.
If I was watching that, I would be like, yes.
I'm like, yeah, what a G. Like,
yes.
Like, could have played, because like at that point in that song, by the end, I'm just going completely ham. Just like,
honestly,
I'm just
it's a great idea. But if an artist did that, like an arena show, and there was this like a part in the song, was like, ga, 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 spotlight on the drummer.
Get him, get him, get him, get him, get him, get him. Like, oh.
Yes, exactly. Okay,
so 6-stroke roll, your turn.
I want to talk about your tattoos.
Yep. Yeah, dude.
What percentage of your body would you say is covered in tattoos?
I'd probably say like only like maybe like 35-40%, something like that. That's like I got this whole arm done. Yeah. Got half of this arm done. I got my neck done. I have a big piece on my leg.
Let's go right to the neck. I think everyone's looking at the neck. What you got there?
Shout out to Ryan Richardson and Josh Hellman. Those are my two tattoo artists out of Ohio I met on the road. And they've just become great friends, great homies. I love them. And when I met Ryan, he was like, yo, I would love to tattoo you, like, for free. Like, please. Like, and because he was a fan of my previous band. And I was like, sweet. We did this hand piece. Then he did the throat. Now we're about to do my chest, finish this arm. But I got the throat piece just because, like, A, I thought it looked sick. B, kind of like representing self-reflection, like keeping an eye on yourself. Everyone always asks me, is that like you're the third eye? Like, duh. I'm like, no, no, it's not. I wish I had some like deep sciencey meaning. You know what I mean?
I would argue that that meaning is probably deeper. Introspection.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, I mean.
For sure.
Come on.
For sure. Don't get deeper than that.
Introspection exactly. is one of the ultimate powers, ladies and gentlemen.
It's about as deep as it gets.
Let's go. Then,
I'm looking at one by your ear over here. What's that little one?
So that's the Holofront logo, my previous band.
Okay.
Cool. We all got that done.
Nice.
And now I got to get an Austin Snell tattoo.
I want to know, because I want to do the hands. This thing, my wife got like 20 different, what are they called? Semi-permanents that last for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And she's just like, oh, she's like, I'm going to get a bunch. Do you want, they'll be fun. You're like, do you want anything
just else? Cover
like,
your body.
I was just like, give me the Triforce. Give me that. I want that. I was like, and I've got a whole bunch that I want. And mostly like I have plans for my hands.
Bro, just do it. Do it, bro.
What's the worst spot pain-wise?
Besides my throat, the hands aren't that bad. I'd say like your shoulder really sucks.
Shoulder, really?
Shoulder blows, your elbow blows.
Oh yeah, I've heard the elbow's just terrible.
But yeah, I mean like going over your knuckles and stuff really sucks. But I mean like getting tattooed anywhere, like this is probably like the easiest spot is like on your arm somewhere, you know what I mean? But once you hit like over here, just anywhere where it's really bony, that's where it's just like, ah, that's uncomfortable as fuck.
Yeah, the only real one I have is the wedding band, which was like, I don't know, it took under, it took under an hour to do. And I was like,
well, that's good. What if it took him like 3 hours to do it? Right, like, 150 an hour.
Right, totally. And the person doing it, she was like, your hands aren't great feeling. She's like, but this is going to be a short enough session that it's probably like, your body's got plenty of endorphins. It's not going to really bug you. But I know, I'm like, when I do a whole hand
I'm going to feel it. There's little areas too. There's just like little spots that are more sensitive than others. You know what I mean? Like right here, just in this like little area, that sucks. Especially like when he does like white detail over the black, because all my stuff's black and gray. It's just like the white detail that he adds in it, like this stuff.
Right.
Sucks. Because you're like 6 hours deep. He's like, almost done. And it's like all just like irritated and raw. And then he goes all over all of it again. It sucks.
Can you play drums like a day or two after getting tattoos on your hands?
Oh, yeah. I went right on the road. Probably like, I think I went on the road like a week after I had this done. So which is like a little time for it to heal, but it wasn't fully healed.
Yeah.
But I've gotten tattooed and played like day of.
Cool.
You know what I mean? And it's just kind of, I don't know. It doesn't really like affect me as much anymore. But now like when I get my chest done and I'm going to get the sides of my neck done, I'm going to wait for my hair to grow back. If my hair doesn't grow back, I'm getting my head tattooed.
Yo. Okay.
Love it.
Yeah. Like black and gray floral from like right here going like around and like down connecting to like whatever will be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll, like with hat on and shit, I'll just be like, whoa.
Whoa,
whoa.
That guy's really good. That guy has tattoos. See, this is the reason people are talking to you on the plane.
It's definitely like people.
They just look right into your eye.
People are like, this guy sucks or he's cool.
Yeah.
You know, he's either really scary or.
Yeah, if they talk to you for 2 seconds, you're like, oh, this guy's a nice guy.
He's a drummer.
Well, he's really interesting because he's covered in tattoos. So I want to, now I have to talk to him.
People are always like, are you a barber or are you a tattoo artist? I'm like, I wish I was that talented. Like, I wish I was that skilled.
I like that.
All right. Okay. My last closing question is just, give us some non-drumming hobbies or interests.
I love to kayak. Okay. Love being on the water.
Yeah.
Love being on the water. So much fun. So relaxing.
Do you know a lot in Michigan?
I did. Yeah, I did. And there's a lot of spots here too. Like there's a ton of spots all over Nashville.
Yeah. There's more than people realize.
Oh yeah. Big time. And hiking, just like being around nature in general, I love. Trying to think, as my whole life is consumed by music, and I love music.
If for some reason you couldn't play drums, what would you be doing?
I'd probably be like a therapist or something, or like maybe like a voice. Voice actor. Yeah, right.
I was like, okay, hidden dream. I'll make this quick. A like non-realistic dream is to voice act on South Park. And so like, like those guys in the back are like, hey, you know what I'm saying?
You're well on your way. I'm not going to be surprised if that ends up
That would be a dream come true. If I ever reach a level of success to where it's like you end up running into the two dudes from South Park and you hit it off and I'm just like, hey, man. Hey, bro, I got a buzz working, but hear me out. Check these voices out. What do you think? Yeah, man, that'd be nuts.
You know that if you do that, Trey is going to roast you, right?
Who?
Trey Parker.
One of the dudes?
Yeah, he'll be like, sure, fucker.
Yeah, for sure. No, absolutely. But yeah, that's
dream
status.
But I want you to do that anyway, because I want the story of his response that.
I would love to get roasted by him.
Oh, dude.
That would be a dream come true.
Being roasted by Trey Parker or Thea Vaughn.
Wow, that'd be hilarious. Or to get punched in the face by Tyson.
I don't want that.
I do. I would totally do it, bro. I'd be like, bite a chunk out of my ear, dude.
Yeah, bro.
I dare you.
Where do you want people to follow you?
Instagram, at Devin Attard, DevinAttard. TikTok, same thing. But Instagram's where I normally, it's just post constantly on Instagram. Getting better with TikTok. I kind of stopped giving a fuck about TikTok for a little bit, but it's always good to give a fuck. It's always good to put yourself out there, like I said, you know what I mean? So both. Thank you guys for having me, man.
Dude, thank you so much for coming on. This has been inspirational, motivational. It's been great. I'm stoked to see what's next for you. You're 24. You're already at it. Such a cool situation, cool spot.
Bro. So thank you, man.
Keep on drumming. Keep on inspiring, man.
Appreciate it. Always. Same to you guys.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Nashville Drummers Podcast. If you liked it, please consider leaving us a review on the Apple Podcast app.
Please consider supporting us on Patreon. For $5 a month, you can help support this dream and keep the ball rolling for us. Believe it or not, it's not free or even necessarily cheap for us to make this thing go. To sign up, go to patreon.com/Nashville Drummers Podcast or click the link in our Instagram bio. All of your help is greatly appreciated.
Visit our website, NashvilleDrummersPodcast.com, where you can listen to all past episodes, learn more about myself and Nate, and buy all your favorite Nashville Drummers Podcast merch, including t-shirts, tank tops, sweatshirts, hats, and drum heads. Connect with us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube at Nashville Drummers Podcast.
This episode of the Nashville Drummers Podcast was recorded at Garden Groove Studios.
Tucked away in a private and soundproof studio in East Nashville, Garden Groove was born out of a desire to create a space where musicians, entertainers, teachers, and learners could come together. Garden Groove offers a quiet and relaxed environment for creativity to thrive and grow.
Their mission is seeded to fostering creativity and collaboration among musicians of all levels. In addition to a state-of-the-art recording space, they also offer a range of events and workshops to inspire and connect the community.
Recording, mixing, and mastering services start at just $45 an hour, and professional audio engineering services available for an additional $25 an hour. And exclusive discounts for newsletter subscribers, 25% off your first session when you subscribe.
Visit garden-groove.com to learn more and book a session. That's garden-groove.com.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.